Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today, of course, it's Monday. We're answering your listener questions.
Yeah, buddy. I had to say my name real clearly there just to make sure everyone knew my name. I don't want anybody to forget about me, Joel. But we've got...
Don't you worry about that.
We've got a listener question Monday episode lined up for folks. We've got a question from a newlywed couple. They've got a money question specifically about combining their finances. Another listener is asking about dental insurance, wanting to know whether or not it's worth it. And another listener, she has a less than ideal insurance product, and we're going to talk about that. Plus, we're going to get to two additional questions.
I feel like two of these questions are right in your wheelhouse because people always ask you questions about marriage and dental work. You know, because it's two things you've got a lot of expertise on.
Where'd you get your dental work? You know, oh, man.
This is all natural right here.
So literally, I think we've even talked about this before. Sitting at a particular light nearish our house, there's this giant billboard. And it's a billboard for, I don't think it's a dentist. It's somebody that does veneers.
Oh.
And they've got the most gnarly before and after pictures of these guys that I swear must have done meth or something like that, but their teeth.
I hear that ruined your teeth. Yeah.
Their teeth look terrible. And then it's like 24 hours later, and it's a picture of this handsome dude, and it's literally the exact same dude. It's crazy.
The miracles of dentistry.
What new teeth do? And the girls are like, is that really the same guy? I'm like, sweetie, I think it is. That's what veneers do.
It's impressive.
Because of that, I feel like we talk about dental work more than the average bear, more than the average family at home. But yeah, we are going to get to those questions.
Well, and just a heads up to listeners, if you missed our announcement last week, we're taking listener questions every single Monday from here on out. And so if you have a money question, holler at us. You can always submit one at howtomoney.com/ask or just email us with your voice memo. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be taking a lot more, double the listener questions we used
to take. A higher chance of your question getting answered.
Yes. So please submit one. But Matt, real quick, I just want to mention my buddy Tim, our mutual buddy Tim.
So I know that Tim.
He booked a flight via Delta. And the thing about booking with the major airlines and not booking with one of the discounters, or specifically Southwest, is that there are change fees involved when you are looking to switch up your dates or your times or something like that. And often they're pretty inflexible. Southwest is great for that
because they can be. They've got a premium product, so like we don't have to cave to your request, demands.
I guess it's what they think, at least, right? I personally am partial to Southwest.
Yeah.
But he called anyway, and he said, "Listen, I know this is like not your policy, but could you help a guy out?" And old Delta, Delta probably doesn't want me revealing this, but Delta said, okay, sure, yeah, we'll help you out, because they don't want other people doing this. But this is one of those things where we always talk about asking for a discount or asking for some help in one way or another. And lots of times a business like that is going to be like, no way. But if you ask nicely and if you ask the right person, you really might get help. You might get your flight changed without having to pay a fee. Like, there are all sorts of ways that you can ask to be refunded for something or to change something about a service that you've received. And the worst they can do is say no. Mm-hmm. The worst that happens is that the policy as stated is what you have to abide by. So
that's right.
Just kudos to Tim for doing the right thing, asking, and encouragement to everyone else out there listening. Like, ask for the discount.
Yeah. It gets to show that even though you know, it's like, well, I know what the rules are. Like, they're going to say no. But you don't know what they just announced earlier that week, like what HR or whoever, like the performance folks, what they send out and what they're willing to make concessions on giving the industry, given what's going on, giving internal changes that might be happening, given what their earnings are that quarter, where they're just like, okay, we got to turn things around. We're going to start making some concessions.
Maybe it's like demand's lower or actually the flight they want to switch to is less packed. And so we want them to be on this other earlier flight, so we'll do it because it helps us out. You never know.
Exactly. I love it. Yeah, it does not hurt to ask. Joel, let's introduce the beer. Are you ready for a big one here on this Monday?
Always.
This is a bigger beer. This is Angel of Darkness by Wicked Weed. And what's crazy, you can tell that this is Wicked Weed from a couple years ago because it's like the old label. Because they did a rebrand.
That's the great thing about a good sour is sometimes it tastes better a few years left in the bottle. So we'll give our thoughts on this one at the end of the episode.
It smells great.
But Matt, let's get to the topic at hand. We're answering listener questions on this episode. And let's get to the first one. This one is about your pearly whites.
Hi, Matt and Joel. This is Phil from Annapolis. I wanted to get your opinion on dental insurance. I know you've mentioned other financial instruments in the past, such as home warranties and so forth, in episode number 700. I thought that you might have a unique take on dental insurance. From what I understand, most dental insurance does have a cap as to what they pay out, and also there seems to be a $50 deductible pretty frequently. So anyway, I welcome your input, and thank you very much.
I feel like Phil needs to take the Matt route, which is not only avoiding dental insurance, but avoiding dental work.
It has been 10 years. I got my teeth checked out last year? It was right before we moved. Uh-huh. And it had been 10 years before I had previously seen the dentist.
Well, your philosophy has always been,
if it ain't broke, it doesn't need to be fixed. If my teeth weren't broke. Well, I mean, it depends.
You're like, cavemen didn't have dentists. Why do I need one?
Hey, it's true. But it is a personal thing, right? I'm lucky enough to have healthy teeth, healthy gums. When I went last year, no cavities, baby.
Look at that.
So, okay,
some people are naturally predisposed to have clean mouths, I guess, and you're one of them.
So here's the thing. I might be assuming that all of our family members also have the same teeth as I do. So this is where the real... Phil, I promise we'll answer your question here in a second. But Joel, so we haven't taken any of the kids in to get their teeth checked. And our oldest is 10. She has not yet been into the dentist.
Oh, that's tough.
And obviously we've got younger kids as well. And so that's the potential frugal or cheap where Kate and I, it's both of us, where we might be going a little cheap because we haven't taken them into the dentist. But it's also because in the state of Georgia, you need a certain form filled out in order for them to go to public school. It's the Georgia Department of Health, Form 3300. I know it because it's always kind of a battle to get your pediatrician to sign it. But they are authorized. They can sign off and say, oh, yep, I looked at their teeth. They're good. And
they're also authorized to roll their eyes when you ask them to do it because they're like, just take your kid to the dentist.
But I figure if there's something bad enough that a pediatrician, your family doctor, will be able to catch it.
Sure.
But at some point, I do know.
If there's something really wrong, hopefully your pediatrician will be like, dude, come on.
Exactly.
And speak to you forthrightly.
But at some point, yes, I do know. Everybody, don't send in the hate mail. We will take our kids to the dentist. But it's a thing in our household. Literally, Kate, man, this is long-winded. Last point. Have I shared that Kate got me dental tools for Christmas last year?
No.
Have I ever even told you this?
No, I didn't know that.
It was like a stocking stuffer. It was like a joke. But literally.
Of course it was.
Like, the little pick with like the little scraper, she got me a little, like, it was a pack that you could buy of dental tools. And I'm like, babe, you're taking things a little too far here because I'm not going to like poke myself in the gum. You know, like that's like the painful part.
Let me reinforce.
Of getting your teeth clean.
Anything you hear on this podcast should not be done verbatim. You should listen to the advice of a trusted medical professional. And
I have not used these tools. I'm just saying
Okay.
I think it was part joke, part, he actually might want to give us a shot. So,
yeah. All right, let's get to Phil's question.
Sorry, Phil. Let's get to it.
And specifically talk about dental insurance and our thoughts on it monetarily. We won't
dental
let
insurance,
Matt's
not dental care,
lack of desire to go to the dentist impact our advice here.
I don't mind it, actually. I don't, yeah, like when I go into the dentist, it's actually, I think I almost view it like you getting a massage where somebody is
yeah,
working on me, making
that's
me
so weird,
healthier and better.
You're the only person who thinks that, I think.
Do you feel that way when you go to get your car tuned up? Like, I feel so good after getting my car
yeah,
tuned up. I'm just like, oh, man, this thing is perm.
No, and I'm glad, like, I did it.
Ready
but in
to
the
go.
Moment, I'm like, this is painful. Yeah. Not terribly painful. My teeth are fine, too. But, okay, let's get to Phil's question. And first, the question is, like, how are you getting this dental insurance policy, right?
That's true.
Because if it's subsidized through your employer, it's likely still worth it because you're paying a fraction of what it actually costs to have that insurance. But if you're buying it as an individual, it's not nearly as important as you think, from specifically from the financial perspective. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't go see the dentist, but it means that you might not need the insurance and you might not come ahead having that insurance. And so, like all insurance policies, the specifics matter. Health insurance is a no-brainer for most people, and not because it allows you to get cheaper prescription drugs or, you know, doctor's visits with a copay. We should do away with copays, in my estimation. I don't think it's a good part of the insurance system. But the whole reason to have medical insurance is because how you're going to be covered if something catastrophic were to happen. The annual out-of-pocket limit is like the best benefit you have. That's the best part of health insurance.
Knowing that you're not on the hook beyond a certain amount.
Yes, you yep, get the worst, most devastating diagnosis, a life-threatening disease or injury, and you know the hospital bills could rack up and saying, guess what? I'm capped at $10,000 or $12,000 out-of-pocket for my family, whatever. That annual out-of-pocket max is your saving grace. It's not the wellness visits or checkups that allow you to come out ahead, because cash payers actually often do pretty well
yeah,
for themselves pricing-wise. So I would say this, Phil. I would say don't be afraid to ask your dentist office for discounts for paying in full when you get the procedure done.
Be like old Tim.
Yeah. It
never hurts to ask.
Unless you have this like massively discounted dental insurance policy through your work, which in case, like I said, it might make sense. But if you're looking at buying one on your own on the open market, it might make sense instead to deal directly with your dentist for the work you need to get done.
Yeah. I like that direct to patient model.
Me too.
And is it the concierge medical services yeah, that are starting to crop up? But yeah, I totally agree, man. The thing that makes health insurance so crucial, like that is the same thing that makes dental insurance far less necessary, because most people are just using their dental insurance to lower the cost of their routine visits.
Right. To get a free cleaning, except for you're paying for the premiums, you know, throughout the year.
It's like a credit. You're like prepaying.
Yes.
It's like you've joined some sort of dental club and you've all agreed to keep your teeth extra straight and white
right,
or something like that, which is fine. But I'm just saying there's something to be said for the British model where everyone's got crooked teeth. What's wrong
on,
with that?
Come on.
But so yeah, if you're getting your teeth cleaned, you know, your insurance, it might cover the full cost. Actually, there's basically like a 180-50 model, right? So it's 100, like if you're going in for routine maintenance, like just a cleaning, they typically cover 100% of it. If you even have a cavity, a lot of plans, they only cover 80% of that. But if there's something even bigger, like something more catastrophic, like a crown or something, they only cover 50% oftentimes of that procedure. So
well,
it's
sometimes
important
it's
to,
even less. A lot of times it's,
yeah,
it's 20. And,
yeah,
and it really depends on the policy, which is why the details
exactly,
matter.
Exactly.
But like I had something, Matt, where my dentist was recommending that I get some sort of mouth guard. And,
mm-hmm,
but it was, no, the insurance company then said, and this was back when I had traditional health insurance through my employer, they said, actually, this is orthodontic and we only cover orthodontia stuff up until you're 18 or 25, I forget. And I was like, I'm much older than that now, so you're not going to cover it. And so part
you're
of it
like,
is
can
like,
I get the same mouth guard at like the sports
yeah,
store, like with the football players? Or
yeah,
something?
Right. So you, and so I literally did buy one on Amazon and I can
Is that really
it.
What it was?
Yeah, where you like take the measurements or you,
oh, you
take
the
impression
mold
in your mouth. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
But it's one of those things where you don't know sometimes what your how your insurance is going to classify it or what work you need to get done and what percentage is covered at.
That's why it's important to dive into the details. Yeah, the key question to ask before you opt in to go out there and maybe get dental insurance if you're so inclined is what your premiums are going to be and then what the policy covers. Because if, let's just say a routine cleaning, it costs $150 and then your plan, let's say it costs you $300 a year in premiums and say you're only able to get cleaning done like once a year or something like that. Well, for you in this specific instance, the insurance, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yes. And like Phil alluded to, Matt, dental coverage usually has an annual max payout and certain procedures have ridiculously high co-insurance payments. And so dental insurance is a case where ditching it and opting to self-insure really can make a lot more sense. So instead of paying for a portion of the work being done, just pay the full price of the cleaning, the cavity fill, whatever it is. The premium money you've been able to save by canceling your insurance policy, funnel that into a savings account to pay for those procedures that you need done. Plus, it allows you this added flexibility of being able to shop around before you actually go in to see the doctor. But again, so much of the equation comes down to your own dental needs, the price, and the coverage. So it's not like we're mass recommending everyone to ditch dental insurance, but it just really depends on the individual and depends on your own dental needs.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So one interesting additional option, if it's looking like you might need more significant dental work done, is medical tourism, which sounds kind of crazy, but it's actually becoming more and more popular.
My preferred destination, Antarctica. You get the polar bears for
me. It's becoming more popular specifically because it's becoming more affordable to go to another country, to fly and pay for medical procedures, specifically dental care in this case.
Oftentimes you're able to stay in a nice hotel on the beach kind of thing. And that sounds two for one whammy.
Way nicer than just running an errand and, you know, like make a trip out of it.
Sure.
Literally, we've talked about, was it with Marshall Allen? We talked about Molar City.
In Mexico.
Yeah, down in Mexico, that people are crossing the border to get solid dental work done at a fraction of the price. Costa Rica, that's another top destination. But for you, run the numbers, because, you know, even after paying for the airfare, paying for the hotel, not to mention if you're able to get it at a discount because you got points, but it might make sense to get on a plane, get some dental work done abroad, and you definitely don't need dental insurance in order to do this, in order to partake in some medical tourism. So we want you, Phil, to take care of those chompers, man, but
figure out a disclaimer here. Floss every day. Brush twice a day. Maybe three times a day. Like, do those things.
Do you floss every day?
That's the biggest kind of insurance. It's kind of like, I'll get to that one second. It's kind of like the cell phone case, like the case for your cell
phone. Preventative medicine is always the best.
You don't need the expensive insurance coverage if you put the case on it.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
And does that mean that your phone will never ever get a cracked screen? No, but you've done 90% of it for the cheapest possible price. And so that's the thing to do. As long as if you're doing those main things every day and going to see a professional often enough, I think you can ditch dental insurance. You don't need it, but run the numbers. And yeah. I floss twice a week.
Okay.
I should floss every day.
Yeah.
I've been doing it more regularly because my daughter and I were like talking about it. And so we're both kind of trying to,
well, with kids, you want to instill the habit, but their teeth are, their little mouths, but then their teeth are so far apart. They're like, why would you floss? I'm like, 'cause food gets in between your teeth. And they're like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, what? Show me your teeth. And they're like, open. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's like,
let me poke around with a sharp instrument your mom got me.
It's all gappy in here. You don't have your grown up teeth yet.
Yeah.
But it's still good to instill some of those habits. On a related note, Kate just bought, do y'all use string floss that you wrap around your fingers, or do you use flossers?
No, the flossers.
So
they just like,
they make it so easy.
They make it easy and fun.
They do. I used to always
think cost a little more, but it makes it more likely that I'm going to do it.
You buy the bulk pack at Costco, which is what Kate did. Anyway, I'm a recent flosser convert. I'm a fan.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm doing it way more often because of that.
Nice. All right, we've got more questions to get to, Phil. I hope that helps. And
we're going to talk about other body parts next.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is really going to, we're going to dive down the medical rabbit hole in a big way. Well, we are going to talk about life insurance in a second. And that's like, you know, something you need if you die. Well, but what kind do you need? And can you get too much or something that's too expensive? We'll talk about that and more right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
All right, man. We are back from the break, and yes, we will get to that question on life insurance. But first, let's hear from a listener who has just recently gotten to money gear number 5.
Hi, Matt and Joel. This is Renee from Pennsylvania. First time, long time. I love your down-to-earth advice and the fact that you're not trying to scam your listeners with timeshares. My husband and I work full-time. We don't have children, and we are not planning to have children. Our debts include our mortgage, 0% interest loan for our new HVAC system, and just under $20,000 in school loans. We are finally at a point in our finances where we can think about investing, aka Money Gear 5. We are both contributing to our employee-matched 401ks and employer HSAs, with plans to increase those contributions each year. We have about $60,000 in a high-yield savings account earning 4.25%, and we continue to put money in that account almost every month. I would like to start investing some of that money, but I'm not sure where to start. When I look at CD rates, they don't seem that much better than our savings account, unless I'm misunderstanding the rates. I'm interested in something like a Praxis money market account that has a positive social impact associated with it. What do you suggest for our next move? Thanks.
Oh, Renee, those timeshare scams, they're coming. We're going to start pitching those probably tomorrow is my guess.
It's been a minute since we've talked about timeshares.
Yeah. No, that's false. I'm just joking. Yeah. We're not going to...
Not something we like.
We'll never go down that rabbit hole because timeshares are the worst. People should avoid them. And it's very, very rare that I hear someone, Matt, who's like, I love my timeshare. Most people are like, how do I get out of this without losing my shirt?
What's the little website where I can go to trade or sell? Because folks, they're tired of them.
Sell it for literally pennies on the dollar because...
Actually, I'll pay you to take over the responsibilities I have.
Nobody values timeshares on the secondary market, that's for sure. They're sold, not bought.
That's right. Renee, but onto your question. It sounds like you've paid down a lot of debt. It sounds like you've created a sizable chunk of savings. Plus, you are investing in some smart ways as well. So the question you're asking, what are the next steps? How can you invest some more? And we want you focused less on within the savings sphere, the different savings products here, and more on those actual investment accounts that you mentioned, because while it's a spectacular thing that savers, that they're not getting clobbered anymore, except for the ones specifically with the big banks, they're still getting paid the absolute least.
Oh, yeah.
That being said,
they haven't raised rates at all.
No, yeah. Ramping up your savings even more, it's not going to necessarily get you where you're looking to go. It's a good idea for short-term goals that you might be saving up for and quote-unquote investing for. But when it comes to long-term investments, you need to change basically your mindset, shift how it is that you're looking at your money, because you might feel more comfortable adding to your high-yield savings account, right? Socking more money into a CD or that money market fund that you mentioned. But the way that you're actually going to make bigger strides in order to grow your wealth is by embracing the risk, but also the reward that comes with investing your money.
I think it's gotten...
There's more volatility that you're going to expose yourself to, but that is how you're actually going to grow that money.
It's become easier to be more comfortable being a saver because rates aren't complete crap, right? They're not all the way down in the dumps like they were for a decade plus. And so now it feels like, oh, cool, I can make close to 5% on savings. So maybe I'll just be happy savings and I won't think about investing as much. But the truth is, over the years, over the decades, you're losing out on meaningful additional returns by prioritizing saves. And yes, you need liquid cash. You need savings, but you don't want to save so much that you're not investing as much as you could or should. Yeah. And so
I think one of the tricks is the fact that we, most folks aren't necessarily comparing their expenses today, right? So we've all experienced inflation.
Yeah.
And we're not necessarily, some folks are, which is great. But at the end of the year, when it comes to your savings account, you get a little statement and it tells you, this is how much you earned this year. And you're going to say, oh, wow, that's so much more than last year. I'm earning so much money by investing my money in a high yield savings. But what they're not looking at is the itemized breakdown of how much they spent on groceries, for instance. And yeah, if you were automatically sent that, I think that would have an impact on how it is that you view the money that you're spending.
Yeah.
And the money that you're saving, not necessarily investing.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, man, I need to out-earn this inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the main reason to invest in the first place, right?
Yes.
It's that inflation is steadily eating away at our money. And so we need to invest to grow that money so that, you know, we're not getting stung by inflation over time, that we're able to kind of mitigate that and actually outpace it, right? And
yeah.
So the thing is, I think Renee doesn't even necessarily need to open up a new account. You've got plenty of good ones already at your disposal, it sounds like. And I love that you already have plans to increase what you're putting into that 401k and that HSA. But it might make sense to ramp up contributions to those even sooner than maybe you thought. Like, we're all about liquid savings, but it's a good idea to see how many months of expenses, that $60,000 you mentioned you had, how much would that cover? Like, do you need that much, or would $40,000 suffice? Would that be enough? Like, if that would be plenty to cover 5 or 6 months of expenses and your jobs feel steady, I would be funneling more of that cash into those investment accounts for the increased tax and wealth building benefits that you're going to receive.
Yeah, I would say, as you're looking at the amount of money that you have set aside, make sure you have, because you mentioned a 0% loan that you've got on your HVAC, which I get it. Sometimes we're in situations where we don't have the money on hand, but it sounds like you have the money on hand and maybe you chose to go with a 0% HVAC loan because you're like, well, why not? I can hang on my money for longer. I just want to make sure that you have a plan to pay that off once that 0% window closes.
Sure.
Because, like, okay, so there aren't really, like, quote-unquote HVAC loans. Oftentimes, they're just personal loans. And personal loan rates vary widely. Like, anywhere from, like, 7% all the way up to 35%. And so they're counting on folks getting used to, perhaps, not paying that. And then all of a sudden, they roll out of that window, and boom, if your credit is not so stellar, you're going to be on that higher end
right,
of that unsecured loan, and you're all of a sudden paying 30% on something that you didn't have a plan to pay off. And so, Renee,
it's like those furniture commercials you see on TV,
yeah,
and it's like, no payments, no interest until 2035. And it's like, they're hoping that you're going to forget conveniently about
but
when you need to.
They're going to come calling.
Yes. And then you owe a lot of money in interest and fees.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. But Renee, she seems organized, and I'm guessing they have a lump sum set aside that when the time comes, you're going to bloop, pay that thing off. But yeah, just make sure, if not though, make sure that you do have a plan for that and that you've got that much money set aside in addition to your emergency fund.
Yeah.
But make sure you're taking that into account, as well as student loans resuming as well, because it sounds like you've got a couple more, 20,000 in student loans that that will be resuming.
Yeah.
So just a quick note on savings and making sure that you're not fully depleting those, that you're looking at the full picture.
Yeah. And I guess I mentioned that Renee doesn't, in all likelihood, need another account. She doesn't need to add anything else to the mix. I think if she's just kind of getting closer to maxing out both those two accounts that she's currently investing in, she's a lot of the way there, right? Like, she is doing a lot more than most people can or do. But there is one other thing that's probably worth mentioning when it comes to crushing your retirement account goals more fully, and that is adding one additional account to the mix. And Renee, you and your husband, you could likely consider, and you probably should consider, the Roth IRA. It's that would be like the trifecta, essentially, with the other two,
HSA, 401k, Roth IRA.
Doing all the above.
Boom.
Funneling and
yep.
and maxing out the Roth IRA and the HSA, those two together would be incredible. And then getting at least the match on the 401k. And then any additional dollar, I would say, should go into the 401k after those two are maxed. You can contribute up to $6,500 annually each into those Roth IRAs. And if you're doing all the above, that would be a lot of investing, right? Which you might not be able to do all the above, or at least be able to do all the above this year. But even just opening the Roth, investing a little, that would be a great start. And so we would say, yeah, again, saving money is important, but savings alone aren't going to fund retirement. So make sure you're not leaning too hard in that direction. Just because rates are higher and it feels a little more comfortable, it doesn't mean that you should rest on your laurels and just kind of allow your savings to accumulate and accumulate, unless you have have specific short-term to medium-term goals that you're saving for. If these are long-term goals, we want you putting more aside in those retirement accounts.
That's right. Yeah. And you asked specifically, too, about putting your money with maybe a money market fund that has like a social bent or something like that. And we would caution you against going with a bank or somebody that's paying you less than what it is that you can get competitively on the open market. You specifically asked about Praxis, and they're actually, you know, we looked them up, they're paying 4.8%, which is pretty dang good that they're paying that out to customers, but also have a social benefit that they're providing providing the community, right?
Yeah.
And so in
it's
that
less
case,
a question whether or not that is good. It's more of a question about whether or not she should be doing more savings and less investing.
Exactly. But as far as those medium-term goals, if you are looking to move your money into somebody like that, that's totally fine. I just don't want to see you necessarily getting like 2-3% at the expense of that they happen to be doing some quote-unquote good when you don't. You may not necessarily know what good it is that they're providing for a community. It makes me think of like ESG investing and even S&P, like the rating agency. Like they just dropped ESG, like the rating, because it's like, what does that even mean anymore to different companies? Because there are
subjective.
So many.
It's subjective. Eye of the beholder.
Yes, yeah.
And it's gotten pretty murky on the ESG side. And we've been covering that for a while in the show. It's not that we're against doing good or caring about
your
environment.
Do it separately from your savings and investing.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, like if they were only paying out like 2%, I would say, well, shoot, get with a high yield savings that's paying you 5%, but then take a portion of your money and donate it directly to the different causes that you believe in. Just keep them separate. Specifically, the good that you're able to provide the community and the world. It just helps things to remain a little more clear.
It's like proper alignment, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's hear from our listener who has that less than ideal insurance product.
Hey, Matt and Joel. This is Robin from Northern Colorado. I have a question for you guys regarding whole life insurance. Back in the 90s, I was in the Marine Corps and started investing with an investment bank that caters largely to the military. In general, it's a good company. However, I have learned that perhaps they did not always have my best interest in mind with regard to their near insistence on getting whole life insurance, which I ended up doing. My three children also have their own whole life insurance policies. In recent years, mainly from the good advice from my fiancé and also from reading some articles on your website, I'm now convinced that whole life insurance is not all it's cracked up to be, and I probably would do better with a term life insurance policy for the remaining years that my children are dependent upon my income. My question is, what should I do? I wonder what the tax or any other financial implications might be if I close out the policy. Should I invest what remaining cash I get back into some other investment vehicle, or maybe put it towards a term policy instead? I appreciate your thoughts on this rather confusing financial matter that has bothered me for quite some time now. If you guys ever find yourself in the Northern Colorado area, I'd love to recommend some of my favorite breweries. And if the timing is right, you might even get to see some of my artwork on display at these breweries. I have a super cool side hustle painting art on recycled wood that features the Colorado flag. Thanks, guys.
Robin, first off, we dig the side hustle, the small business
Heck
that you're starting, right? And it's true that there are some good companies out there, by the way, that don't do a good job advising their customers as they're making big financial decisions. Even companies that we like don't necessarily do the due diligence, especially some of these financial companies, that they should do with their customers. Matt, my mom was thinking about rolling over a Roth 401k recently into a Roth IRA with Fidelity, and they were like, cool, let's do it. And they didn't really ask her any important questions, and they didn't notify her about the five-year rule. It doesn't mean that Fidelity's not a great company with low fees, but man, that was a little disconcerting to hear that they didn't like ask those questions of her, right?
Or she didn't get an email that said, this is what you should expect.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes. Okay. So once again, I think this reveals the need for more basic financial education in schools and maybe less complexity in the rules overall. But it's something that impacts all of us every single day of our lives. This money thing, right? We're dealing with it all the time. Yet most of us, we graduate learning nothing about it. And the truth is a lot of financial mistakes can be mitigated. But man, wouldn't it be nice if we worked to prevent more of these financial issues from the get-go? I think we owe it to generations of future Americans to help teach them what it looks like to handle personal finance as well.
Yeah, especially something like a life insurance policy that you're stuck with paying for decades down the road.
And you might not realize until a decade is gone and you're like, wow, that's a decade of returns on money I could have instead invested that I lost out on.
That's true. Yeah. And the whole life policies that she has specifically on her kids, Robin, those are the absolute most unnecessary that you have. They're all kind of unnecessary. Yeah. Well, not life insurance in general, but whole life specifically. But the entire purpose of life insurance is to cover loss of income in the case of your untimely death. And so unless your kids, I think you said you have three of them, unless they earn you money, right? Like if they're child stars, like a la Macaulay Culkin, right? They're probably not contributing to the family finances. More than likely, they're actually a drain on them. They cost you money. Not to say that kids aren't worth it, but they're not bringing in, they're not carrying their own weight, right? When it comes to the financial situation. And so what I'm saying is that there is not even a need to have term life insurance on them at all, which is our absolute favorite.
Well, she's got whole life on them, but any sort of life insurance.
Any life insurance, exactly.
Even a cheaper kind.
Zero life insurance. That is the right amount for each one of your kiddos. If I were you, I'd be getting rid of those policies as soon as possible.
Yeah, and some people will say, oh, but we need a policy on our kids to cover potential burial costs. That's a case for self-insurance, not a case for life insurance, because that is not the purpose of life insurance. But yeah, so cancel those things. You'll get those premiums back in your life every single month. And then when it comes to the whole life policy that you and your fiance, your soon-to-be husband have, well, whether or not you're going to want to ditch those, that depends on how long you've had those policies in place and what changes there may have been to your health in the meantime. Because on average, the premiums are 10x, sometimes more than what a term policy would be. So in the case of term, you might pay $18 a month. Well, for your whole life, it might be $200 a month. But you know, your age and your health factor into those premiums and what you're actually paying. So that's a pretty good rule of thumb, I would say, when it comes to thinking about how much cheaper term insurance is likely to be. But like, let's say, for instance, you've been diagnosed with something that would impact rates on a future policy. You might be better off keeping your whole life policy intact, because rates on that new policy, even a term one, which comes with, on average, 10x less, will be affected. And again, if you got this policy 15 years ago, well, rates are going to go up just by factor of, just by consequence of your age. So that's important to take into consideration also.
So the flip side of the coin would be if you're actually in better health. For instance, it makes me think if you, like say you smoked back when you got that policy, you could actually save drastically more money now by getting a new policy, in addition to the fact that you're going to pay, you know, 10 times less for a term policy over that whole life policy. But also it's not only how long that you've had the policy, right? But it's also how much longer you're going to need that policy moving forward, how much longer that you'll have folks who are dependent on your income. So for instance, let's say your youngest kid is 12 years old. Well, that means there might be only like 6 years where they are solely dependent on your income, at which point you could potentially cancel if you wanted to. Like, you could potentially be without life insurance altogether because you don't have anybody who's dependent on that income. If your partner, maybe they're not necessarily in a position where they need your income.
Yeah.
It might be certainly the icing on top. Certainly life would look a whole lot different were you to not be there, but it may not be necessary.
Especially if your savings and your investments are robust, you might say, in 6 years' time, based on the amount we're socking aside,
self-insure, baby.
We don't need that policy anymore.
Exactly. It kind of goes back to the whole dental thing.
Which is why we recommend term in the first place, because usually you're covering a specific period of time where kids are under the roof or where your spouse is going to need that. And hopefully over that 20 or 30 year term policy, you have built financial independence.
Beef up your nest egg.
In the meantime,
you're going to be set.
Yes. Exactly. And then you don't need the life insurance anymore because it covered the period of time where you weren't financially independent. And then now you are.
The designated period of time. Exactly. And you also, so you mentioned the tax implications as well. So if you surrender the policy, you only have to pay taxes on anything that you receive that is over what you paid. So the dollar amount of the cash basis, so what it is that you paid into it, you will receive that back tax-free. No income tax on that amount of money.
I think it's also important to mention, Matt, like term life, yes, better, but we're mentioning all these little caveats because, it depends on how long you've had the policy.
There's a lot of different factors that you plan to have it take into account.
Yeah, health stuff and what the actual cost you would be paying for a term life policy. I think it's probably worth getting quotes on term life policies for yourself and your soon to be, and your fiance to see, okay, well, how much could we actually save? And are we insurable at a decent rate? But I would also say this, the devil's in the details, and there's a nonprofit called the Consumer Federation of America that will review your policy for a reasonable $150 fee. And since this is such a big decision, and there are a lot of factors that go into whether or not you opt to keep or ditch it, it's probably worth getting insight from a pro. So we'll put a link in the show notes to this website, the Consumer Federation of America, the service they offer.
Is it just run by this one guy?
It's this one guy.
Okay.
This one guy. Whose name is James Hunt, and he has literally been reviewing life insurance policies since I was born in 1984. That's 39 years of experience. And so, and he does it now.
Talk about laser focus.
Right, right.
This guy does one thing and he does it really well.
Exactly. So, it, yeah, he literally says on the website, I've basically seen everything. Nothing you send my way is going
to
shock
well,
me.
Well, and before that, he used to be the tax commissioner for Vermont. And so he was in the industry before. This guy is a pro. He's been doing this specifically for a long time. I honestly, I really like the simplicity of his model, like this business that, and that he set up.
Public servant, basically, in a lot of ways. Like, he's doing this as a way to help people and just cover costs. And so,
but I think he probably makes decent money doing it too.
Maybe he does okay. I don't know.
I haven't heard of anybody else doing this.
But he'll talk it through with you too after he runs the numbers. I just think it's one of those things where it's like, well, hey, if you've had this policy for in that borderline 10 to 15 year period and you're not sure where to go, and I think
it's borderline. Yep.
Running it
it's
through with him and having him crunch the numbers will help provide some peace of mind, knowing that then you're making the right decision on whether to keep it or cancel it. But Robin, hopefully that's helpful. Again, if we could all go back, like almost everyone would get term life and not whole life policies. And I'm sorry that someone, even at a decent company, led you astray in the beginning, because I'm sure, yeah, that of course has cost you over the years. But while that's a bummer, you can still make hopefully a smart move here in the here and now.
That's right.
But Matt, let's get to a couple more questions, including a frugal or cheap. We'll talk about one listener going to the county fair, whether he made a wise decision or not. We'll get to that and more right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues, like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. All right, we are back, and we will get to that frugal or cheap county fair edition. But before that, let's hear from a listener who is going to be getting married soon.
Hi there, my name is Cassie, and I'm from British Columbia. I'm also getting married soon, so I was wondering what the best way to manage finances together slash blend our money. I've heard that it's one of the most difficult things in marriage, and so what do you guys suggest from your experiences? like what credit cards or budgeting. I'll also be in a university during this time, so if you have any extra advice, please let me know. Thank you.
Matt, Cassie is north of the border. We have a nice contingent of international listeners.
Yeah, a decent number of folks up there in Canada.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of advice we offer, hopefully, on the show that is applicable to
people that spans borders.
Live in Australia, live in Canada, live in, you know, wherever. There's a lot of people in Europe as well. But
there are certain principles that hold no matter what the actual products, investment accounts that you can invest with it.
Even if you don't care about the Roth IRA contribution limits or whatever.
Yeah, she skipped over that last one. With
right, yeah. Now, I guess we have to talk about loonies, not... That's what they're called? Yeah. I think they're actually Canadian dollars, but...
Loonies and toonies.
That's like the common vernacular, I guess.
$1 and $2 coin, right?
Yeah. But I've never been. all right, question for you. Do you think that combining finances is the most difficult thing in marriage?
I think it can be, right? It's either money, it's how many kids you're going to have, it is what is your relationship going to look like with your in-laws. Like, those are all the... They're like snares in waiting, right? like they could all potentially be topics that lead to the worst arguments or fights that you have, but they don't have to be. And I don't think they're going to be when it comes to Cassie, because I love for her that she's being proactive.
Yeah.
And I love that. Cassie, I feel like you're the type A, I don't know, you remind me of me a little bit, because this is something I was worried about before I got married. We were super intentional and made sure that we sat down, because we had premarital counseling before we got married, and we talked through some really important life stuff. We talked about faith stuff. We even talked about kids. Guess what we didn't talk about at all? Money.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait a minute. I feel like there's a big sort of sector here that just went untouched.
Again, it's amazing.
Because of that, I had to be a little proactive.
Amazing that gets left out of a lot of those combos when it's such an important topic for us all to be discussing. But I agree with you, Matt. I think the fact that Cassie is asking the question, that she is being intentional on the front end.
She's so ahead of the game already.
You're setting yourself up for success because you care.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and money, finances, it's just one of the, like, the many areas that you're combining, and all of which require a lot of communication. You know, like when you're single, you used to make that decision and you just keep on moving with your day, like how it is you're going to spend money, what is it that you're going to do. But now there's someone else's feelings to take into account, to take into consideration. And that's true whether we're talking about spending and saving or whether we're just talking about going out with your friends on a Friday night.
But I thought we were going to Netflix and chill together, baby.
No, I was like, I'm...
And then there's hurt feelings.
I got some plans.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is regular, healthy communication. Like, that's going to be key to all of these discussions, whether you're talking about money, whether you're talking about friendships, whether you're talking about kids and in-laws, that, all of that.
And I think that means humility and asking for forgiveness. I've realized this with my kids too, Matt. The more I'm able to apologize for things that I've done, the ways I've hurt them or ways that I was rude or short or something like that, that I feel like that is building a level of trust in our relationship, even when I've done something that hurt them or that was short-sighted.
Yeah.
And so
Cassie sounds like a humble lady.
Yeah, but you
got
to
keep... She's got this on lock.
Both of those are really important in that relationship dynamic, right?
That's
the more
right.
You can kind of incorporate those two things, the more firm foundation you're going to build. And I would say our advice for most folks who get married is to combine finances. That advice is somewhat malleable, right? It might change a little for a duo who's getting married later in life. Let's say you're getting married in your 40s or 50s or whatever, or you've had a previous relationship that failed. I mean, those that can impact our advice here. But studies show that couples who combine finances are happier, and they also tend to build more wealth with that approach. And so it doesn't mean that you can't or shouldn't have some level of autonomy and ability to spend how you want. You should still remain a distinct individual inside of that relationship. And we do want you to create room for that in your budget. It's just important to be able to spend without getting approval for everything. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you should not be combining most things, because I think it's going to help accentuate your goals and your ability to achieve them. And it's going to put you guys on the same page. It's actually going to force some of those discussions that are necessary to make the progress you're going to want to make with your money.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said goals. Some advice I would have is just to dream together, right? Like, come up with shared goals together, because I think that common vision is going to ensure that you both feel like that you're on the same team, which is exactly why those couples in that research, we can link to the article as well that talked about that research about happier and wealthier couples who have combined their money. But I think that's why they tend to be better at building wealth.
Yeah.
There is serious, legit power in two people who are going hard after the same thing, and which also makes me think about prenups, by the way, because there's going to be some folks who tell you to get a prenup. I am personally not a fan. I feel like by somebody getting those, there's like a lack of trust that is implicit with that, right? And it almost becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy when it's just like, oh, I trust you with everything except for this, yeah. You know, my money, the thing that allows me to do everything else that I'm able to do in life with.
Yeah, you're like, hey, there's a distinct chance this doesn't work out. And yeah, you are sowing plan. Some of those seeds.
Yes. Yeah. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're sowing those seeds, I think, with the inherent act of creating a prenup.
I've heard of a number of couples
for your money, which I don't like. And I know that there are plenty of couples who are going to say, oh, I've got a perfectly happy relationship, but I would venture to guess that they would be even happier, that they would be even wealthier, that relationship would last even longer if they didn't have a prenup.
Well, there are a lot of couples where that relationship fell apart in the prenup process, right? Like just that one step of trying to hammer out a bunch of those things. And maybe you would just say, well, that revealed kind of the underlying dysfunction to begin with. Maybe. But I do think
it's like a crash course of it's better to identify these cracks now, right? Like identify these potential cracks in the foundation now. And as to whether or not these are things that can be mended or not.
I think my advice would be if you think that a prenup is necessary, then why? I guess it makes me question why marriage is the ultimate goal then, because there are other ways to have a long-term committed partnership.
Valid question.
But if you're saying, listen, no, I'm going to commit to you for the rest of my life, we are going to get married in the eyes of like the state and my church or whatever, then why at the same time would you have to have this backup?
Well, I feel like we could potentially go down this path but like it raises the question of like marriage in general, and I think that there are a lot of folks who are entering into marriages and relationships like that aren't taking those seriously enough. Like I feel like that's what it's a larger indicator of, but I feel like we're getting a little too heavy here. So I'm gonna like back out a little bit.
Yeah, but you just have to be careful if you're saying I'm gonna commit to all these things, and then you're gonna say, but I'm not committing to combining my finances. I think it just raises some deeper questions.
Totally.
Cassie also mentioned credit cards and budgeting, and so a couple suggestions on that front. Use credit cards responsibly, of course, but which ones? That's really up to you. I mean, you can choose to optimize cash back or travel rewards. And I don't know if you're interested in traveling for free. That is definitely one route to go. We have content related to that in previous podcast episodes and up on the website. But really, how complex do you want to get and what are you shooting for? That should inform which credit cards you opt to get. For budgeting, that's also personal, right? If you prefer digital, we love YNAB. You need a budget. That rocks. But there are lots of ways to skin that cat too. So Matt does the old school Excel spreadsheet. I mean, really, whatever floats your boat on that front and whatever allows you really, like, I think whatever aids communication for the two of you and makes it easy for both to kind of get in on the money thing so you can have good conversations, I would prioritize that.
Yeah, which makes me think that Cassie should prioritize simplicity, because you're saying like it depends on how complex you want to go with it. That kind of determines maybe what card you get. Cassie, I mean, I'm thinking back to when I first started out, and I think the simpler the better, especially if your partner may not be 100% on board all in, because I'm guessing, like, again, you kind of sound like the type A personality. And I think if you put together this really elaborate, complex plan, and even if you have a special fun date night where you may, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to talk about this and it's going to be great, and you have a bottle of wine or craft beer, whatever, even still, I think your partner there might be a sense of resentment where he's just like, man, I feel like she's trying to control how it is like we're going to live our lives, or how it is I can spend, or when am I going to give my input? Statements like that. And even on your part, if he doesn't stick with the plan, you might have like a sense of resentment a little bit, because you're like, man, I worked so hard to put together this awesome plan that's going to allow us to achieve our goals, but it's not really panning out. And so I think for now, at least, keeping things simple and then kind of slowly taking some baby steps and upping the level of complexity, especially early on while you're in school, you've got other stuff going on.
I feel like what you're pointing to here is that the process matters more than the results. And that's something Emily says a whole lot, my wife, who is studying to become a therapist. And I think she's spot on. It's like how you tackle this together even the forming of the methodology and like how you communicate about it and the tools you use and how you incorporate each other into that planning process, that matters. And that shows a lot like of love and respect if you're able to make sure they feel comfortable with the process too. Not just saying like, all right, I figured it out. Here's what we're doing. And so
it's about making that other party feel seen and heard as they're able to kind of come to the table with their own ideas as well. So,
Cassie, best of luck. We can't wait to be invited to the wedding. It'll be our first stop in Canada. So
I might go. Hey, don't invite me unless you're serious.
Road trip. Let's do it. Matt will even perform the ceremony. All right. Let's get to our last question for this episode. This is a frugal or cheap, a fun one from a listener in Indiana.
Hey, Matt and Joel. My name is Bobby from Valparaiso, Indiana. I have a frugal or cheap situation for you. So I took my family to the fair the other day, the county fair, and it was a lot of fun. But a little bit of prep work, I was able to save about $40 on lemonade. I'll tell you how. So I had some of those souvenir sandcastle cups from previous years. So before we left, we stopped at Aldi, got some lemonade, got them nice and cold, and I washed those old cups out real good. We went to the fair, had a nice picnic, and then as we're walking around, we're thirsty. I just busted out my Aldi lemonade from the cooler, filled up our sandcastle cups, and we're sipping lemonade in style. Except our three jugs cost me about $6 instead of $45. So my question is that frugal or is that cheap?
Bobby, love it, buddy.
Sipping in style.
Okay, what is a sandcastle cup?
I don't know. It must be specifically related to that county fair.
To the Indiana county, whatever, state fair. I love it. So this actually...
I was getting, by the way, when I was like hearing his question, getting like Charlotte's Web vibes, making me think of Wilbur going to the prettiest pig contest, whatever.
Best in show.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, that's such a good book.
It's a nice throwback. Okay, so Bobby's situation here, it kind of reminds me, I shared maybe not too long ago about... When we went to Six Flags, we got a refillable, you had unlimited refills on a single cup. And, you know, we're taking all six of us in. I'm like, man, these cups are $25. So, I don't know, it reminded me of that because there's a part of me that was like, oh, this feels a little bit cheap. And specifically, like, I guess to Bobby's question here is I wonder how his family felt, right? Because our kids were young enough that I don't think they felt the stigma of us all sharing the same cup. You know, like there's other families walking around and each person has their own cup. There's other groups. Each one of them has their own cup. There's our family walking around waiting in line for the rides. We got one cup and we're all like passing it back and forth. But I think they're young enough that they're just like, oh, whatever. This is just how we're doing it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a consideration, Bobby. Is your family members, were they on board as well as you're busting out the jugs of Aldi lemonade?
Their foreheads. They're like, oh, dad.
Are there people around you giving you the eye and all of a sudden they're just embarrassed at the fact that this is a step that y'all are taking in order to save money? Because that's way back when we did the original Frugal or Cheap episode where we spent a whole episode talking about what it means to be frugal, what it means to be cheap. Imposing your frugalness on somebody else without necessarily giving them a choice might be a form of cheapness.
Yeah.
And in this way...
But you also might say, hey, listen, even if we don't do this, like we're not buying a $14 lemonade or whatever it is at the county fair. Like that's not in our budget.
There's always trade-offs, right? And so... And I welcome that conversation, right? The ability, because if your kids are like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Well, that's a learning opportunity. That's an ability for you to for them to learn the value of money and to even get them on board a little bit and say, hey, we might save a ton of money here. And hey, you're going to be on the receiving end of this. Because of this, each one of us is going to be able to get an extra ice cream snack. We'll all be able to go do this ride when before we weren't able to. And I think that's the important lesson. And moving forward, if they're like, well, no, I really want to get this year's sandcastle cup. And what if you change the colors of the cup?
It's tie-dye this year, Dad.
And theirs are all green or something like that. It's like, oh man, we're the only ones with a green sandcastle cup. There are all these small things to take into account. And I think different folks are going to make different decisions.
Yeah.
But it's all it's sort of like you're saying, like with the Emily's counseling thing. It's all the process is so important in hearing your kids and your spouse. And I don't know, just you got to take all that into account as you're trying to make the best decision, not only for your money, but for your family. And the culture and everyone around you too.
So one other thing that I think could make this land in squarely in the cheap category instead of frugal is if the money that you spend on those lemonades and the special sandcastle cups goes to like a community organization or a nonprofit that's
all
doing
proceeds
good.
Go to charity.
Yeah. And then if you're like being super super cheap with that, then that feels cheap. Cheap instead of frugal.
Totally agree.
Makes me think of like Emily and I, we took the kids to this mini pony petting thing, which it was all about a fundraiser for
ponies and pastries,
an animal rescue organization. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. And so they were selling pastries there, and there was a whole pie that someone had made from scratch. It looked delicious. They were selling it.
Nice.
And like they had cookies on the table too that were $2 or $3. But then this pie, I was like, hey, what? How much for the pie? There was no dollar sign attached to it. He was like, I don't know, we take like $5. And I was like, no way. I'm not paying you $5. I'm paying you a lot more than that because this is a nonprofit, man. And like, I want to help. I came here distinctly to help support it. And so
you talked him up.
Yes. I was like, I'm giving you $25 for this pie.
Whoa.
Yes. Because
look at you.
Who are you?
Rich Daddy Fat Sacks over here. Right.
Who are you being cheap towards?
Yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah.
And if it's a nonprofit or community fundraiser, I would say, I'm going to buy those cups with gusto because I want to support what's going on here.
It's a badge of honor that you're paying that much. It's one thing if you're doing it with that in mind. It's a completely different thing if you are just partaking in mindless consumption.
Yes.
And that's, I guess, the sort of the angle I was coming at it with is if everyone's doing it and because everyone's doing it, you feel that you have to do it. And it's not even a question that gets raised whether or not we use our cups from last year. That's what I'm pushing back on. Yeah. And I think that's the lesson that you're able to share with your kids. But it makes me think of y'all went to Disney and y'all came back with some bucket. What's the bucket thing?
It's like the popcorn bucket.
Popcorn bucket.
You pay like $13, but then you get refills for $2.25 every time.
And you guys loaned us the bucket and we're going to use it when we go down there next month.
I think that's frugal, right? I think it's frugal.
Totally frugal.
So yeah, but you're asking the question, which is good. Just say, hey, who am I harming? Am I having the right conversations with the right people in order to pull this off? And yeah, hopefully that'll help you think about whether it's frugal or cheap in your case. It's kind of hard not knowing all the details. And again, this is like somewhat silly, the frugal or cheap sometimes, right? But it's also, I think it brings to light something that we're all faced with every day, every week in our own lives. Like, am I being cheap or am I being frugal? Especially as you're trying to save money, you're trying to cut back so that you can save and invest more so you can live the life you want. Sometimes you're going to come to a junction point where you've got to figure out, am I frugal or am I cheap, and which path am I going to go? And sometimes, yeah, even if it is supporting a community or nonprofit organization, you might say, I'm not there right now.
Yeah.
I have to just avoid it altogether. But it's clearly a fork in the road that all of us come to on our financial journey at different points.
That's right. And either way, Bobby's being frugal by being a patron of Aldi.
Oh,
like,
that's true.
There's no way that you're not going to be able to save boatloads of cash. Literally, when we switched over to Aldi like years ago, we were able to slash our grocery budget by 30%.
So you're not alone.
Huge win there, Bobby. And if you haven't given Aldi a shot and there happens to be one near you, definitely give it a go.
You're missing out.
But Joel, let's go ahead and get back to the beer that you and I enjoyed during this episode. This is a Angel of Darkness. This is a beer by Wicked Weed Brewing. What were your thoughts?
So this one had red wine vibes in my estimation.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like a tart red wine with a bunch of fruit in there. So I'm definitely not into wine, I'll say that, but I am trying out some more Kirkland signature wines on occasion.
Ooh.
Like once a month, a $12 or $13 bottle of Kirkland signature wine. We've moved beyond the box wine finally as we near our 40s, but this still craft beer is my favorite. I prefer craft beer, and I love craft beer that has wine-ish kind of qualities, and so this one fits that note, and it's
totally
a good sour, lots of good fruit coming through.
Yeah, barrel aged American sour ale with boysenberries, blackberries, raspberries, and cherries as well. I was gonna say it had a lot of berry fruity tartness going on, but it almost had like this leatheriness that I think came from it aging in oak. Do you ever drink cranberry juice?
I have.
You know, there's like the,
it's been a minute.
You kind of have like this feeling on your tongue, like it leaves like a leathery feeling.
Yeah,
that's what I get with this.
I see where you're coming from.
It kind of has like this, and the texture or the feeling that it leaves in your mouth from the tartness translates into flavor a little bit. And so even though this is a tart cherry, it makes me think of like dark wood and weathered leather, kind of, you know, like it makes me think of like the frontier or like a well-appointed library flavors that would accompany that.
Like a cigar smoking room where,
there's like a richness that
you
comes
need to be
with
in
something like this.
A dark, moody room with mahogany and enjoy this beer.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway,
Yeah, that's what I was thinking while we're drinking this one. But yeah, Angel of Darkness by Wicked Weed. We've had tons of beers by them.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode, though, bud.
Yeah.
We'll have show notes and links to some of the things we mentioned up on the website at howtomoney.com. You can always find that there. You can always find our credit card tool. If you're looking for a new credit card tool, looking for the one that's best for you, you can find that up at howtomoney.com. Just up in the right-hand corner, click on credit card tool. But Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.